The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet would I not seek my own glory? There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old and have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord promised to Abraham and to the entire race of Adam that one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Look toward the heaven and count the stars, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed this, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In all of this, though, Sarah grew impatient, and she became afraid, which are two very common emotions that human beings feel and experience. And so what happened? Hagar was given to Abraham, and she conceived for him a son. But you cannot force God's hand, right? That's what they were trying to do. They're trying to force God's hand to make the promise come about at their time. But this son was not the son of the promise, was he? He was Ishmael, the son of the law and the son of bondage. And so Ishmael and his seed would be the trouble and the persecution of the true son of Abraham. In his old age and still childless with Sarah, Abraham continued to hope in the Lord, even when hope seemed foolish, right? You can't just breeze on by all of this. Even when hope was the most foolish thing that they could have grabbed onto, they did. The sign of circumcision was then granted to Abraham by God, and his son Ishmael and all of the men of his house were circumcised by the edge of the knife. And the promise was renewed. You shall be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you all of the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And Sarah shall bear you a son, Isaac, at this set time. Right? Hear that. At God's time. Not Abraham's time. Not Sarah's time. And the Lord did for Sarah and for Abraham as he had spoken. She conceived and bore a son in her old age at the set time that God has appointed and not before. And the promise was made flesh. And when 8 days were accomplished, what happened? The boy went for his circumcision, and he was named Isaac, the name given by God before he was conceived even in the womb. And Sarah pondered all these things in her heart, and Isaac increased in wisdom and in stature. Then, fast forward a few years, one early morning in the midst of everything going just perfect for the family, Abraham is splitting wood for a burnt offering. And he saddled his mount to prepare for a long journey. 3 days journey, that is. There was a time, and not too long before, for Abraham, that he believed the promise of God without a son, right? Without actually seeing that promise enfleshed before him, Abraham believed that promise. And now Abraham believes that promise, and that despite that his only son is going to die, that he knows of his son's imminent and certain death. 2 servants he took with him, and they journeyed to the foot of the mountain of God at Moriah. It was 3 days that they had been traveling. 3 days of Abraham realizing what's going to happen. 3 days of relying on the promise of Yahweh, the Lord God of hosts, under terrible, terrible circumstances, trusting that he who caused Isaac to be conceived in a womb far past childbearing age would also raise up that same child out of the grave. And Isaac, who is now in his 20s, by the way, goes forth without complaint to do his father's will. On the 3rd day of that journey, only 2 continued onto the mountain. Only 2 remain. A very, very old Abraham, fragile in bones and wrinkled in skin, barely able even to make it up that mountain. And with him, his young and athletic son, with his broad shoulders and his powerful muscles. Before they began up the mountain, the wood of the sacrifice is loaded upon the breadth of that same son's back. And the will of his father was revealed both in fire and in blade. And so these 2, bound together in the bond of love, as if one being even, and with one will, these 2 traveled up the mountain of the sacrifice. As the hour of the sacrifice drew near for them, the child's eyes were opened to see exactly what was to become of him while the servant slept. And he questioned, "My father, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb of sacrifice? But your will be done." And in the hot afternoon sun, when they came to the place of sacrifice, the wood is set down into its place, and the son is bound to it. Now his life cannot be taken from him. That is utterly important. This is somewhat clearly Isaac is the stronger man. If he wanted to overpower his father, he could. His life is not taken from him. He lays it down, submitting to his father's will, to suffer the death of all of his descendants, to be raised again from the ashes of the grave, that the father's offspring would be more than just the stars of the heaven, that theirs would be the promised land, a land flowing with honey and milk. And there was no rescue for this son. There was no angel of mercy ready to stay this father's hand. Because I'm not really talking about Isaac, am I? Our Lord Jesus is the promised son. He is the promised made flesh. He is the fulfillment of it. He is the long-promised son of whom God had spoken to Satan in the garden about and said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall crush your head, but you shall bruise his heel. This is the fulfillment. He is the fulfillment of that promise. And Adam believed what God said together with Seth and with Enoch and with Noah, with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, with all of the faithful of Israel who looked for the long-awaited Savior. When the fullness of time had come, the Lord of hosts did for Mary just as he had promised. Impossibly, she conceived a son. And the Word became flesh. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, a name given by the archangel Gabriel before he was conceived in the womb, where he would save his people from their sins. And it wasn't Abraham who was worried about all of these things and who pondered them as he went with his son up the mountain. Guess who it was? It was Mary, who pondered all of these things in her heart and would herself feel the piercing of the sword of her own soul. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. Jesus is the ram caught in the thicket by his horns and bloodied by them. He is the Lamb of God who was bound in Isaac's place. He is the greater Isaac, who traveled uncomplaining the way towards suffering and death, carrying the immense weight of the entire world's sin on his shoulders, quietly doing all that his father bid him to do. But as the hour of sacrifice for him approached, he opened his eyes and his mouth in prayer, all while his disciples slept, beseeching, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass, your will be done. That's what he said, your will be done. And it was. It was. Jesus died the death from which Isaac and you were rescued. Sin, death, hell, and not one of the demons have any command over you. You are heaven's child. You are Jesus' brother, his sister, and you belong to him. And you are his. Because on a hot afternoon in the sun, when he had trudged to the place called the place of the skull. The wood was set in place, and the Son of God was bound to the accursed tree, which he carried up the mountain of Calvary to plant there. No one could take his life from him. No one. But they didn't have to, because he gave it up freely as the bloody cost to save and to have you. On the Mount of the Lord outside of Jerusalem, the Lord has provided. And what Abraham glimpsed in Moriah has now been seen. The knife is stayed. Your bonds are loosed. The fire is extinguished for you. Abraham, nor any man, nor any demon, nor power of hell, no angel, nor anything in all of creation shall ever snatch you away from your Lord. Because the infinite Lord of Sabaoth, you now call your dear Father. That is the judgment of God upon you. Right? That's what Judica means of Judica Sunday. Judge me, O God. This is the judgment of God upon you because of what Jesus has done. And the sentence for you is life lived within the love of the Holy Trinity forever. At the holy mountain of Calvary outside of the city, this is the inheritance that he wins for you. On that mountain, he has surely provided all that you need. In the name of Jesus, amen.